Good morning, everyone. It's a treat to experience what we just experienced. Did you hear what we were just singing? I'm just kind of half blown away. Forever he is glorified, forever he is lifted high, forever he is risen. He's alive. I mean, as Christians, what more do we need to celebrate than that? You know, this is a great event we celebrate today. Now, and if you want any proof of that, just look how my boys are dressed. They're looking. Not only that, but several of the kids were awake before I left this morning, which I don't think has ever happened before. So kids, there's Easter baskets next Sunday too, okay? Yeah, in our lives, we have these big events, don't we? I mean, sometimes there are these instances that, because of their significance, just stick out, that they're forever with us in our memories. I mean, when those times when something big happens and your life is never the same after that. I mean, this happens for personal things in our lives. I mean, you remember your wedding day. I mean, the day you got married and that day forever changed your life. You'll never forget it. Or the day you had a child born, or maybe a day you had a sibling baby born. You know, maybe it's when you move to a new place. I mean, maybe your parents or you get a new job, you go to a new place, maybe you get into a new school and you have to pack up your bags and make a move. Sometimes that happens with tragic events, devastating events. I mean, maybe it's a doctor's diagnosis that you hear that forever changes the rest of your life, or the death of a loved one. Maybe it's an accident that for some people is this decisive moment in their lives. Right? Every one of us, we have these big events that happen to us personally, an incident that forever changes the rest of our lives. And this is true not only on the individual level, the personal family level, but also with historical events, right? I mean, I'll bet you that if you're over 20, you can remember where you were the morning of September 11th, 2001. I mean, don't you all remember that when we just watch the news events on the TV, when we saw the images of the World Trade Centers smoking and then collapsing? Maybe if you're a little older like me, you remember 1989 when the Berlin Wall was taken down. That was a big event across the world. You know, I often hear people who are older than me remembering when John F. Kennedy, the president, was assassinated. And you hear them with these vivid memories talking about right where they were when they first heard that news, as they watched Walter Cronkite on TV. See, some of these events are forever stitched in our minds. Well, today we are gathered together to remember the most significant, greatest, the most decisive event in the history of the world, the resurrection of Jesus Christ. See, on Good Friday, Jesus was crucified and his dead body was laid down in a tomb, but early on Sunday morning, Jesus rose from the dead, okay? That's the end of the story. I'm going to give you the punchline right now. Jesus rose from the dead. And this event is such a unique event that it impacts the way we understand everything else. Everything else. I mean, if you want to know what is true, you start with the resurrection of Jesus. If you want to know who God is, you start with the resurrection of Jesus. If you're one of those people that is wondering the meaning of life and why we're here and what it's all about, you look to Jesus' resurrection. Now, most of life is filled with kind of regular, routine, normal days, but there are those few events that stick out because of their significance. Well, nothing is more out of the ordinary. Nothing sticks out more than when Jesus rose from the dead. I mean, this one event informs everything else. It shapes everything else. It colors everything else. It stands out as the most significant event that has ever happened. And not only this, but the resurrection of Jesus changes your life. More than anything else, it's not just some ancient historical fact. It gives you the starting point to understand your life, and it shows you that you will live forever. Now, today, what we're going to be doing is looking at the story of what happened when Jesus rose from the dead. I want us to to step into this story. And then I want us to look at just a couple things. A couple things that this unique event teaches us. And the point's pretty simple today. Jesus' resurrection changes your life. Jesus' resurrection changes your life forever. So let's pray. Heavenly Father, God, we are gathered here together today. And Father, the reason we're here is because you rose from the dead. I mean, it's the reason we're here every Sunday morning gathered together, but it is especially the reason on this day of remembrance. We remember what happened on that morning. So Father, I pray, just we want that event to have the significance, the determining value in our lives that it should. So Father, would you accomplish that through your Spirit in us? And Father, we pray that we'd believe, that today we'd believe. In Jesus' name, amen. Now imagine what Good Friday was like for the followers of Jesus. I mean, Jesus' disciples, those 12 men, had been with Jesus for the last 3 years, traveling around the countryside, listening to him teach, watching him, his miracles. Then there's a small number of other women and men who had also come to believe in him. This small group had come to believe that Jesus was the Messiah, that Jesus was the Christ. That means that Jesus was the Savior, the Deliverer that God had promised to send in the Old Testament. And they were hopeful that this Jesus would turn things around, that he would rise to some high position, that he would be coronated the king, and that when he would reign on the throne and that his reign would bring the kingdom of God in their midst. See, this is what the people had hoped for. But then as it appeared to them, it appeared that everything began to spin out of control. I mean, think of what happened on that late Thursday night and that Friday morning. Jesus was arrested, okay? And after only a few hours of several different trials, Jesus is sentenced to execution. I mean, think of that. In our country today, it is so rare for a person to receive the death sentence. And if it gets to that point, it takes years. For Jesus, that took a couple hours. And Jesus' followers, they watch him as he begins to carry his cross outside of Jerusalem. They watch Simon of Cyrene carry the cross the rest of the way. They see Jesus nailed to the cross. They see him lifted up. And they see Jesus hanging there on the cross. And I bet even then, all along through this process, they thought Jesus is going to do something to turn this around. I mean, after all, they had seen a lot of Jesus' miracles. I mean, great, huge, stupendous miracles. So they knew Jesus had the power to do it. I mean, if Jesus could do those miracles that they'd seen with their own eyes, of course he could do something to change his situation here. But he didn't. They watched as Jesus cried out, "It is finished." They watch as Jesus gives up his spirit and dies. And they watch as his dead body is taken down from the cross. And his dead body is then buried in a tomb. Now, imagine what it was like for Jesus' followers on that day. I mean, what do you think they were feeling? What do you think was going through their mind as they were trying to figure out what was going on, as they were trying to make sense of what had just happened? Here, their dear friend Jesus, whom they had put their faith in, is now dead. And not only that, but all that they had hoped for is taken away in an instant. And they had these great, great visions and dreams and hopes, and it's dashed, it's gone with Jesus' death. Things could not have turned out more differently than they had expected. So they are, I mean, beyond stunned. They are beyond shocked. I mean, they have no idea what to do. In fact, we see them, after this happens, that they're locked in a room. They're hiding. They're hiding because if the authorities had just put Jesus to death, there's a good chance they're going to come after Jesus' closest followers too. So they're not only grieving and sad, They're afraid for their own lives. This goes on Friday evening. And this goes on then all Saturday and through Saturday night. But then early on Sunday morning, a few women head out to the tomb to put spices on his body as his body began to decompose. And they're walking together out early as the sun's coming up on the Sunday morning, taking these spices with them. And as they're talking about what they're going to do, these women realize that there's a stone in front of the tomb. And they're wondering, who's going to roll the stone away for us? They hadn't thought of that. But when they get there, they're going to see that rolling the stone away is not a problem. I want to read the story again that Devin just read to us. And I want you to listen to the events that happened. This is Matthew 28, verses 1 through 10. It says, now after the Sabbath, so after Saturday, toward the dawn of the first day of the week, Sunday, Mary Magdalene and the other Mary went to see the tomb. And behold, there was a great earthquake, for an angel of the Lord descended from heaven and came and rolled back the stone and sat on it. His appearance was like lightning, and his clothing white as snow. And for fear of him, the guards trembled and became like dead men. But the angel said to the women, do not be afraid, for I know that you seek Jesus who was crucified. He is not here, for he has risen as he said. Come, see the place where he lay. Then go quickly and tell his disciples that he is risen from the dead. And behold, he is going before you to Galilee, and there you will see him. See, I have told you. So the women departed quickly from the tomb with fear and great joy and ran to tell his disciples. And behold, Jesus met them and said, greetings. And they came up and took hold of his feet and worshiped him. And then Jesus said to them, do not be afraid. Go and tell my brothers to go to Galilee, and there you will see me. I mean, do you get the story? Jesus is, a few of his women followers, we're going to take spices to the tomb. I mean, they're going there in their grief. I mean, if you think of it, this is kind of like a modern-day equivalence of, you know, someone dies, they have the funeral, they bury the body, and a couple days later you go out and put flowers on the grave as an act of honoring that person. And they're walking out, but when they get there, they see a mighty angel of God. It said he looked like lightning. Such a mighty angel that the Roman soldiers who were guarding the tomb, they're quivering in fear. They fall to the ground. And then they see Jesus risen from the dead. I mean, think of this. They were going to his grave to anoint his body with spices, and now they're talking to him. It says they're falling at his feet. They're grabbing his feet, taking hold of his feet. They are worshiping him. And Jesus gives them instructions to go tell his disciples what had happened. I mean, do you get what those women experienced on that day? I mean, in an instant, everything changed for them. They had been in terrible grief, stunned, shocked for the last few days. But now, in the blink of an eye, they are blown away with what they see. I mean, I love that. It says they were in great fear and they had great joy. I mean, that's trying to describe this flood of emotions that was going through them that they could hardly begin to make sense of. They couldn't contain. Everything changed in an instant. And this experience happened not only to them, but Jesus' followers again and again and again. I mean, later that day, there were two of Jesus' followers who were walking along the road, walking on this road between Jerusalem and the village of Emmaus, which is 7 miles away. And these two were in there, were discussing what had happened over the last few days. And Jesus starts walking with them. And Jesus kind of butts into the conversation. And it says that they their eyes were kept from recognizing him. So two people walking along, all of a sudden this other man joins them and joins their conversation, and Jesus, you get that? They don't know it's Jesus, but it's Jesus, asks them what they're talking about. And they're stunned that Jesus doesn't know what they're talking about, because everyone in Jerusalem knew what they were talking about. Luke 24, verses 18 through 24. We'll go back a slide here. It says, then one of them, one of the two people walking along, one of them named Cleopas, answered him, are you the only visitor in Jerusalem who does not know the things that have happened there in these days? And Jesus said to them, what things? I think Jesus was aware, but anyway. And they said to him, well, concerning Jesus of Nazareth, a man who was a prophet in mighty in deed and word before God and all the people, and how our chief priests and rulers delivered him up to be condemned to death and crucified him. But we had hoped that he was the one to redeem Israel. Yes, and besides all this, it is now the third day since these things have happened. Moreover, some women of our company amazed us. They were at the tomb early in the morning, and when they did not find his body, they came back, saying that they had seen a vision of angels who said that he was alive. Some of those who were with us went to the tomb and found it just as the women had said, but they did not see. So they're in this conversation, Jesus and the two people. And as they get to the village of Emmaus, where they were going to, it's getting towards the evening, and they invite Jesus to spend the night with them, and they're eating a meal together. And then the two others finally realize who this man is. Verses 30 through 34. It says, and when Jesus, was at the table with them, he took the bread and blessed and broke it and gave it to them. And their eyes were opened, and they recognized him, and he vanished from their sight. And they said to each other, did not our hearts burn within us while he talked to us on the road, while he opened to us the scriptures? And they rose that same hour and returned to Jerusalem. And they found the 11 and those who were with them gathered together, saying, the Lord has risen indeed, and he has appeared to Simon. And right after this, shortly after this, on the same day, that Sunday, later afternoon or evening, I guess it was in the evening, Jesus came to the room where his disciples were hiding. And the disciples now can hardly believe their eyes. Luke 24, 37 through 43. But they, the disciples, were startled and frightened and thought they saw a spirit. And Jesus said to them, why are you troubled and why do doubts arise in your hearts? See my hands and my feet, that it is I myself. Touch me and see. For a spirit does not have flesh and bones as you see that I have. And when he had said this, he showed them his hands and his feet. And while they still disbelieved for joy and were marveling, he said to them, have you anything to eat? And they gave him a piece of broiled fish, and he took it and he ate it before them. So Jesus is with his disciples, and I mean, I love that. They couldn't disbelieve. They were disbelieving because of fear, and they marveled, and they think it's a spirit. And Jesus says, no, touch me. He says, look at the wounds in my hands and in my feet. It's I. And just to prove that he's not a spirit, he says, you got anything to eat? I'm hungry. And Jesus eats with them. And then it tells us in the story that Jesus opened the Old Testament scriptures to them and he explains to them, kind of fits it all together, how Jesus, his death and his resurrection is what has been prophesied throughout the Old Testament. Now on that day, it was just 10 of Jesus's 12 disciples. I mean, Judas betrayed Jesus and then killed himself. But another one just was not there, Thomas. Thomas was not in the room on that Sunday, and Thomas got back with the disciples later, and all 10 of them said to Thomas, "Thomas, you're not going to believe it. We saw Jesus risen from the dead, just like the women were saying." And Thomas looks at him, he says, "Have you guys lost it too? I mean, are you crazy?" He said, "I saw his dead body. When you're dead, you stay dead, right? You don't rise from the dead." So he said, "I don't know what you guys saw. I don't know what you were doing, but I don't believe you." Well, a week later, on the next Sunday, as the Bible describes, 8 days later, Jesus came to his disciples again. And this time it wasn't only 10 of them, this time it's 11. Thomas is with them. John chapter 20, verses 26 and 27. It says, 8 days later, his disciples were inside again, and Thomas was with them. And although the doors were locked, Jesus came and stood among them and said, "Peace be with you." And then he said to Thomas, "Put your finger here and see my hands. And put out your hand and place it in my side. Do not disbelieve, but believe." Verse 28. And Thomas answered him, "My Lord and my God." See, we're also told a number of other times that Jesus met with his disciples and other followers. I mean, one day, there's a story in the last chapter of the Gospel of John that 7 of Jesus' disciples are fishing on the Sea of Galilee up in the north of Israel. Jerusalem's down in the south. This was in the north of Israel. And they've been fishing, and Jesus is on the shore, and all of a sudden, he calls out to them, and they realize it's Jesus. And Jesus talks with them. Jesus eats with them. In fact, Jesus cooked them breakfast that day. Another time at the end of Matthew 28, it tells us how Jesus met with 11 of his disciples on a mountain in the northern region of Galilee. And this was the time that Jesus gave his disciples the Great Commission. We are told of another time when Jesus, the risen Jesus, appeared to more than 500 people at one time. I mean, think of that. Jesus was in the midst of a group bigger than we are today. I mean, everybody agreed that they had seen Jesus. More than 500. We're told of another time when Jesus appeared to his brother James. And it's interesting, in the gospel stories, before Jesus died and rose again, we see that James didn't believe in Jesus, but then James becomes one of the founding fathers of the church, writer of the book of James, leader of the church in Jerusalem in the book of Acts. See, Jesus appeared to his followers, to his disciples, a number of times over a span of the next 40 days. So 40 days, and then there is another time when he met with them one last time on a mountain near Bethany on the outside of Jerusalem, and he gave them some final instructions, and then Jesus ascended to heaven, rose up from their midst, kept going up until he was lost in the clouds. And that was the last of Jesus' physical resurrected appearances after he rose from the dead. See, Jesus ascended to heaven, and he reigns there with his Father, and we are awaiting his return, which will come. So I want you to see that. It's not as if, you know, did Jesus rise from the dead? Well, there's one person who, from across a crowded street, thought he saw someone that looked like Jesus pass by one day. It's nothing like that. Jesus appeared to his 11 disciples on a number of occasions, meeting with them, talking with them, teaching them, eating with them. I mean, they touched his body. They saw the wounds in his hands and his feet and his side. And we see that Jesus appearing to others, we see that Jesus joining 500 people on one day, 500 that saw him. Jesus really rose from the dead. This is not just some sentimental, made-up story. It's not some kind of legend or fairy tale that kind of gets built up over the years and over the generations and over the millennia. It's not some just normal human being who, the longer history goes on, more and more stuff is attributed to him. Jesus really physically rose from the dead. It's a historical fact. In fact, if Jesus didn't rise from the dead, there would be no Christianity. There is no Christianity without Jesus rising from the dead. It is by far the biggest historical event that has ever happened. Nothing else even comes close, because no other historical event tells you so much. Nothing. I mean, no other event so clearly tells you who God is. I mean, if you want to know what life is about, it says if you want to know why we're all here, the resurrection of Jesus is the beginning point. It's the starting point. So we have these two great events, Jesus' death on the cross on Good Friday, and then Jesus' resurrection 3 days later on Sunday morning. And I just want to take a look at how Jesus rising from the dead changes everything. Okay, so I just want to look at 2 points here as we bring this together. First of all, the death of Jesus. The death of Jesus. Now, as we've told this story, what do you think would have happened if Jesus died and stayed dead? If the women went out to the tomb that morning and they talked the soldiers into rolling back the stone, and they would anoint his body with the spices and then leave, and it just ends that way. If Jesus' dead body remained in the tomb and decomposed just like every other person, I mean, what would have happened? His disciples would have remained in their grief, right? In their sadness. I mean, they would have stayed locked in that room, hiding for fear of the authorities for maybe the next few weeks. I mean, eventually they would have returned to their normal lives. But they would have had all kinds of questions as they look back over those 3 years, as they tried to make sense of why it didn't turn out like Jesus had said. I mean, they would have never been able to make sense of all that had happened around them. I mean, they would have been confused. I mean, for the rest of their lives, they would have went through with this question mark hanging over everything, just wondering, what in the world happened? If Jesus never rose from the dead, I mean, all his followers would eventually went their separate ways. The tiny movement that Jesus had begun would have quickly fizzled out. I mean, if you put your faith in some movement and then the leader dies, it's over. I mean, Jesus' followers, this group was so small and so inconsequential at the time that they would not be remembered in history. I mean, he wouldn't have been. I mean, if Jesus didn't rise from the dead, if he stayed dead, there's not a one of us who would even know his name. Not even as a historical figure. I mean, think of it. There was all kinds of Middle Eastern ancient prophets and apocalyptic preachers like this. And we don't know their names. I mean, they're lost to history. Jesus was such a small deal, humanly speaking, during his life, that he would never have been remembered. The teachings, the works of Jesus would have been forgotten. Not one word of the New Testament would have been written. And we certainly wouldn't be gathered here this morning. Not only this, but there wouldn't be billions of Jesus' followers today around the world gathering to celebrate the resurrection. It wouldn't have happened. See, there had to be this spark that set off Christianity to take over the world like wildfire. See, everything changed when Jesus rose from the dead. And Jesus' rising from the dead helps us rightly understand his death. I mean, think of it. Everyone dies, right? Everyone dies. Eventually, it's coming for every one of us. There's nothing special or unique about dying. Our time comes, and there's nothing that we can do to stop it. If Jesus died but he didn't rise again, that would be no big deal. He would be just like everyone else. But when he rose from the dead, that proves that he is not just like everyone else. When Jesus rose from the dead, that proves that he has the power over death. Which means that Jesus didn't just die like you or I die because there's nothing that we can do about it. Jesus surely could have done something about it. So Jesus chose to die willingly in a way that none of us does. Jesus chose to die because his death would accomplish something, something significant. I want to see this from Colossians 1, 21 and 22. It says, in you. And the letter here is written to a church, to believers. It says, you who once were alienated and hostile in mind, doing evil deeds, he has now reconciled in his body of flesh by his death in order to present you holy and blameless and above reproach before him. See, you were alienated from God, hostile to God, doing evil deeds, but now you have been reconciled to God by Jesus' death. Because of Jesus' death, now you can be blameless and holy and above reproach. See, the Bible makes it clear that every one of us has sinned. Every one of us. None of us are exempt from this. And our sin has brought us under the just judgment of God. And we need some way for our judgment to be overcome so that we can be reconciled to God. But there's nothing that we can do to make it right. We can't reconcile ourselves to God. We can't make ourselves reconcilable to God. We can't. I mean, a lot of times you hear people say, just give me what I deserve. Be careful with that, people. Because if you get what you deserve, you get the judgment of God that's every one of us. And you can't fix us. Fix it. In fact, the more you try, the more you will sin. I mean, it's like you're in a deep hole and you're trying to get out by digging deeper and deeper and deeper and deeper. It's not going to work. Rather than overcoming God's judgment, you make yourself more and more and more and more deserving of God's judgment. There is no system, there is no plan, there is no method that you can come up with that can restore you to a right relationship with God. But Jesus' death was not the punishment for his sins. He didn't have any. Jesus instead received the punishment for our sins. He stood in our place. He became our substitute. He received the judgment that we had deserved. And this is the only way that any human being can ever be forgiven and made right with God. And God forgives us and cleanses us when we believe in him. And he does that so that we can be restored to God, so that we can once again be in fellowship and relationship with God forever. See, because of sin, our relationship with God was broken, but in Jesus, we can be forgiven and our relationship with God can be restored. So do you trust in Jesus? Do you believe in Jesus? I mean, have you received what he has done for you by laying down his life on the cross? I mean, if you were standing before God at the end of your life and God says, why should I let you into heaven? What would you say? Would you point to what you have done and how hard you've tried and what a good person you've been? That will never work. The only answer that will work is that I believed in Jesus Christ who laid down his life for me. Jesus paid it all. All to him I owe. So do you trust in Jesus? And if not, what are you trusting in? I mean, if not, what's your plan? See, nothing else will work. Apart from faith in Jesus Christ, the judgment of God is still hanging over your head. And you may skate along all right for a while here, but that judgment will eventually come in its full force against you in hell. See, there's only one way that you can be restored to God, and that is through the sacrifice and the substitute of Jesus. So you must believe in him. There's nothing more important. That's Jesus' death. Secondly, the other great event, the resurrection of Jesus. The resurrection of Jesus. See, since Jesus rose from the dead, that means that he will live forever. I mean, Jesus didn't, you know, die on the cross and rise from the dead at 33 and then live a few more decades and at a sweet old age of 87 died in his sleep one day. Jesus is still alive. Death has no power over him. Jesus defeated death once and for all. So Jesus is still alive. Jesus is reigning with his Father in heaven, and one day he will return again. So when we remember Jesus this morning, we're not just remembering some ancient, long ago, dead historical person. We remember a living Savior. I mean, today Jesus is, in one sense, more alive than I or you are. I mean, Jesus is alive, and Jesus will be alive forever. Now, how often do we think about Jesus just as this historical figure who lived centuries ago? I mean, I do that at times. Well, don't forget that Jesus is still alive. When you follow Jesus, you're not just following his historical example. You are abiding in a present relationship with the living God. I mean, when we sing, we're not just, we are singing to ourselves, but we're not just singing to ourselves about Jesus. We're singing to Jesus. I mean, it's an offering to him. When we pray to Jesus who lives. In fact, today, Jesus is at work right in our midst. Today, Jesus is probably at work inside of you in the deepest parts of your soul and spirit. Jesus is the one actively who gathered us together here this morning. Now, this may be, if you're a Christian, this may be the most basic reminder that you will ever hear, okay? But I think we need it. Jesus is alive. Think of that. Jesus is alive. Don't forget that. And second, Jesus' resurrection doesn't only teach us about Jesus, it teaches us about ourselves. Because Jesus clearly taught that every one of us will live forever. Jesus is not the only one who will live forever. We all will. See, God has made us as human beings. From the moment that we're conceived, God has made us as eternal human beings, as people who will live forever. This is not just true of Christians. This is true of every human being who has ever lived. Now, if someone said this other than Jesus, it could just be some stupid, unsubstantiated claim. But Jesus rose from the dead, which proves that his words have to be taken seriously. Every human being will live forever, even in heaven with Jesus and the Father and the Holy Spirit, or under the judgment of God in hell. See this in Hebrews 9:27, which says, "It is appointed for man to die once, and after that comes judgment." See, that verse tells us that death is not the end. Death, and then every person will face judgment. So you will live forever. And this idea of a life after death, it's not just some uncertain speculation. It's not just some guess. It's not just some hunch. It's not just, kind of close your eyes, plug your ear, wishful thinking because we don't like the idea that this life is all there is. Life after death is a certainty. And how do we know it's a certainty? Because Jesus rose from the dead. As Jesus rose from the dead, so will we. And as Jesus lives forever, so will we. So are you living in light of the fact that you're an eternal person? I mean, are you living in light of the fact that you will live forever? See, what's going to happen, you're going to be tempted in this life to live as if this world is all that there is. I mean, maybe you'll doubt that there really is life after death. Maybe you'll doubt that there's eternity, or maybe you'll just be consumed with what this life has to offer. See, we're in the middle, living in the midst of this spiritual warfare, and it's warfare that most of us are blind to. And the enemy is more than content to have you filled up with all the good things this world has to offer here on earth. But when your eternity comes, if you've lived your life as if this life is all there is, how foolish. I mean, how foolish. Living your 20 or 50 or 70 or 80 or 90 years here on this earth as if this is all it is, when eternity makes that seem not even like a drop in the bucket. See, if you refuse Jesus, you will live under the severe judgment of God for all of eternity. I mean, Jesus made this point when he said, "For what does it profit a man to gain the whole world and yet lose his soul?" So if you have been living without giving eternity much of a second thought, today I plead with you, give it some consideration. And if you don't believe, you have to at least check it out. You have to at least search it out. You have to at least see if it really is true or not. Don't just go through life covering your eyes and covering your ears and not seeing if Jesus really is who he says he is. He is worth your consideration. But I want you to believe. I want you to believe because your eternity depends on it. See, there is a way that you can be saved, and that way is Jesus. You must believe in him. And when you believe in him, you are given all that he did for you forever. Let's pray. And Father, I'm grateful that you haven't left us in this confusing, uncertain, you haven't left us in this rut where we're wondering and no light to figure out what's up and what's down, but Jesus rose from the dead. And so, Father, today I believe that. Father, together we believe. We remember and we believe and we worship our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen.